Dr. Sproul, when you think about it, radio has some peculiarities. I mean, today we're sitting in a room talking to people we can't even see, and we rarely get to meet our radio family in person.
You know, as much as I love radio, Lee, this is one of the things that is difficult for me. There is something special about looking into the faces of our friends and being able to meet them and talk to them, hear about how God is working in their lives. And those personal encounters take our relationship to a whole new level that simply can't be achieved at a distance by books or by radio or other media. And it's for that reason, one of the driving forces for our having conferences and teaching cruises and events like that, where we'll have the opportunity to be with our constituents. We're going to be having a special Caribbean study cruise this next February. Our ship will sail from Port Canaveral, Florida on February 22nd. And return the 1st of March, and we'll visit islands in the Caribbean, and every day we'll have a mix of leisure, relaxation, plus study. People will be free to enjoy all the luxuries of a Royal Caribbean cruise, while at the same time contemplating and discussing the deep theological teaching that we're concerned about.
And I know you're looking forward to meeting folks. So I've been on one of these cruises with you, and you thoroughly enjoy interacting with our students.
Oh, I really do. And I know my fellow teachers, Dr. Nichols and Dr. Sproul Jr., will also enjoy that experience. This is one of our most highly anticipated events that we have all year. And for those who go, there's an additional bonus. Anybody that registers for the Caribbean cruise will receive free complimentary admission to our National Conference of 2015. That conference takes place February 19th through the 21st, just before the cruise. So if people want to come to the conference and then block out the time, as soon as the conference is over, we'll get on the ship and go on this teaching cruise. But for this event, space is limited, so we'd ask people to contact us quickly, today if possible, to reserve their spot on the Royal Caribbean ship, the Freedom of the Seas. All reservations for this cruise can be made through our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Their number is 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or you can go to ligonier.org/events.
Coming up next on Renewing Your Mind.
On the day that Christ gave his atonement for sin, an earthquake came and the veil of the temple was rent asunder, and the barrier that God had erected between himself and his people was torn down.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul. I'm your host, Lee Webb, and we've reached the final lesson in our weekend series on justification by faith alone. If you've caught any of the lessons in this series, you know that justification is one of the most important topics in theology. Theologians say that justification by faith alone was the material cause of the Protestant Reformation. It's also foundational to our very salvation. And in today's lesson, we'll see why justification is the difference between peace and war with God. It's not a stretch to say it's the difference between life and death. Here's the founder and chairman of Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul.
For many years, Bob Prince was the voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he was quite a colorful and flamboyant personality. But one of the little tricks of the trade that he used for broadcasting radio games was something I deeply appreciated. Bob Prince, as he was announcing baseball games, always had one of those little tiny hourglasses filled with sand that you use to time the cooking of eggs. And every time he would give the score of the game, he would turn that three-minute sand clock upside down to remind him to give the score again after another 3 minutes had elapsed. So the good news was, as fans in Pittsburgh, we never had to wait more than 3 minutes to get an update on the score. And those of you who know what it's like listening to a basketball game or football game or baseball game on the radio, particularly when you're driving, and you're not listening from start to finish, and you're entering into the action in the middle of the game, the first thing you want to know is, what's the score? Well, here we've been going for 15 sessions, as it were, dealing with the subject of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And some of you have just tuned in, as it were. And so this is my egg timer for you to tell you what we're doing and what we're about. We've come to the end of our study of the doctrine of justification, and we've looked at how this doctrine was the most controversial, volatile issue ever to besiege historic Christianity. It was the doctrine that was at the eye of the tornado in the 16th century that provoked the Protestant Reformation and the fragmentation of the Christian church into literally thousands of different pieces. We've tried to see how important this doctrine is, as Luther emphasized that it's the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls, the doctrine upon which we stand or fall, because it's not a matter of abstract theology, but it touches on this question: how can we, who are not just in and of ourselves, ever possibly be justified in the sight of God? We've spent some time comparing and contrasting the historic Roman Catholic view of justification with the Reformation view of the matter. And finally, we boil the whole thing down to the work of God's justifying grace being His free remission of our sins because of Christ. Now, my question for today is this: so what? What is the benefit? What is the value? What is the outcome of one's having been justified? Or to put it another way, what is the fruit of that justification? And to answer that question, I want to turn your attention to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. In chapters 3 and 4, Paul has given us his most in-depth exposition of the doctrine of justification that he gives us in his writings. And chapter 5 begins with this word. It begins with the word, therefore. I'm a nut about this word, therefore, in the Scripture. Anytime you see this word, therefore, it should cause us to increase our awareness and perk up our attention so that we become exceedingly alert. Because what does the word, therefore, indicate or signal is about to come? Obviously, it's the word that precedes the stating of a conclusion. So it's the ergo in the syllogism. It's the thus of the argument, where Paul has now spent all this time defining justification, explaining justification, and now, in light of what he has already taught about the doctrine of justification, he is driving us to a conclusion. And so we need to know what the conclusion of the matter is. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith. It seems to me this is the final nail in the Roman Catholic coffin on justification, because he's speaking about something that has already been accomplished. And he's speaking broadly to his hearers in Rome and addressing them as people who are in a state of justification. Having been justified, we have peace with God. That's the first result of justification. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. How important is that message to an ancient Jew whose concern for peace in every dimension was monumental? So important to the Jew was peace that he greeted people with the very word shalom. When the Jews would meet and when they would depart, it was the same thing. Shalom aleichem. Aleichem shalom. Peace be to you, and unto you peace. Now, what kind of peace were they looking for? Well, obviously, they were looking for peace from endless warfare that besieged their nation there in that tiny little strip of real estate that was the land bridge dividing three continents. Israel's had less than 100 years peace in their whole history. Peace was extremely elusive to them as a nation. But also, they were looking for that inner peace, that tranquility, that rest of the soul that people desperately want and seek in this world. But the ultimate peace is to have reconciliation with the supreme enemy of their existence. Now, when I say to people in the 20th century, they look at me quizzically and doubtfully when I say to them, do you realize that the most formidable opponent that you've ever had in your life, your most hostile enemy and most threatening alien to your well-being is Almighty God? People don't hear that anymore. They say, wait a minute. This celestial grandfather, this cosmic bellhop that I've learned about all my life, who loves everybody and who's so gracious and merciful, he's not really my enemy. Does not the New Testament again and again describe the relationship between a holy God and unholy people as a relationship of estrangement? Does not the Scripture teach us that by nature we are at enmity with God? By nature, we are the mortal enemies of our Creator, the sworn enemies of our Creator. And our relationship with God is defined in terms of estrangement. It's been said that the central motif of all of Scripture is the concept of reconciliation. Christ is called in the New Testament the mediator between God and us. If there's no estrangement, there's no need for reconciliation. If there's no conflict, there's no need for a mediator. But we seem to have somehow cheapened the message of the New Testament to such a degree that we've almost all but forgotten that there ever was a problem in the first place. But the New Testament takes that problem very seriously, and Paul is saying that the key to reconciliation, the end of conflict between the sinner and God, the truce that is declared, comes with our justification. If we are not in a state of justification, beloved, if you are not right now, as I speak, justified, you are in a war, and it's a war to the finish with your Creator. You are alienated and estranged from Him if you are not justified. But if you are justified, if you have repented, if you have bowed the knee to Christ, if you have put your confidence in Him and in Him alone as your Redeemer, as your Mediator, then the good news is we have peace with God. I've told before the story of my childhood when I was playing stickball on the streets of Chicago, and the game was interrupted by this sudden melee that broke out of nowhere, where adults came running out of apartment buildings and out of shops and out of stores, screaming and yelling and pounding on pans with spoons and stuff. And I was frightened and I was surprised and I was irritated that my game was being interrupted. And the people were shouting and screaming, "It's over! It's over!" And it was VJ Day, 1945. That horrible conflict of World War II was over. And I remember, even as a child, experiencing a flood of relief, because at least I knew it in existential terms that this meant that my father could come home and could be with us and he could be safe. And it was over. I used to remember when I would go to the dentist as a child, and when I'd be finished going to the dentist, when the course had been over, and I would leave the office after the last appointment, I would have this enormous sense of relief saying, oh, I don't have to go back to the dentist for a while. The relief or the peace was temporary. And I remember one of the scariest moments of my life. When I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, somewhere in that range, I was invited by some of the guys in the neighborhood to spend the night sleeping out in a tent. And I went out to that tent. And as we were getting ready to go to sleep, one of the guys started talking about the atomic bomb. And we had had exercises in school where we had to practice the air raid alerts and so on in the event of nuclear attack. And this older fellow was telling us how destructive the atomic bomb was and how, in his judgment, it was inevitable that it was going to fall sooner or later, because we were involved in the midst of a Cold War that was terrifying to children. And I became so frightened that I left the tent and came home. And I was sick at my stomach. And I remember living on the rim or on the edge of fear that another war would come about. Because we know that when peace treaties are established in this world and in human history, up to this point, they've never been the last one. They've never been the final one. All of our truces in this world are guarded truces. And we realize that at any moment, hostilities can break out again, and the domestic tranquility will be thrown into upheaval anew. That is not the case with God. When we are justified, we have peace with God that is forever. It's not a guarded peace. It's not an uneasy truce. It's not that God is going to start rattling the saber every time we offend him or disobey him after we have received the grace of our justification. It is the peace that belongs inherently to Christ that is given to us when we put our faith in him. Do you remember the last will and testament of Jesus? The single legacy that he gave to his disciples before he died? When he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if it weren't so, I would have told you." And what does he say? "I'm leaving, but peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled." See, when Christ as the mediator pays the price for our sins, and God declares us just in Christ, the war's over. And it's over forever. Just yesterday, my wife said to me, "R.C., does God ever punish Christians for their sins?" And I said, "Well, certainly he does. The scriptures tell us that again and again, that the Lord chastises, the Lord rebukes, the Lord admonishes, and the Lord chastens us. But it also says that the Lord chastens those whom he loves." And I said to her, "It is not punitive wrath that we receive from the Father, but corrective wrath. It is the discipline that a loving father gives to his children. But there is no end to the peace. We can disappoint God. We can disobey God. We can offend God. We can grieve God. But we will never again be estranged from God. Because having been justified, we have our reconciliation. And we have our mediator who intercedes for us every single day, who makes absolutely certain that the war is finished and there will be no more war between us and our God. And so Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," Romans 5:1, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." So that the first fruit of justification is peace. The second is access. Have you ever gone to a building or to a meeting and you were wanting to go in to enjoy the festivities that were being held inside, and you saw a sign that said, "No admittance"? You had no access to be in the place where you wanted to be. Now, what Paul is saying is the whole history of Israel has changed. After the first sin, after the fall of Adam and Eve, they were banished from paradise. They were forced to live east of Eden. And the gateway to paradise was guarded by an angel with a flaming sword. No access to the presence of God. And through the whole process of Old Testament Israel, the place of meeting between God and his people was first in the tabernacle, then in the temple, and there at the core of the building was the Sanctus Sanctorum, the Holy of Holies. But no person from the rank and file was allowed ever to set foot in there. The only person that could ever go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, and then only once a year, and even then after elaborate ceremonies and rites of purification. But for the mass of the people, no access to the immediate presence of God. And that was symbolized by this huge, heavy veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. But on the day that Christ gave his atonement for sin, what happened in the temple? An earthquake came, and the veil of the temple was rent asunder, and the barrier that God had erected between himself and his people was torn down because of Christ. Because he has made us just in the sight of God, we have peace, we have access. So that the author of Hebrews can say to us, therefore, we come boldly into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, a person would die if they just touched the holy mountain of Sinai. Now God says, come. You may come into my presence boldly, not arrogantly. There's a difference. But we are to come boldly into the presence of God because we have access to God by the grace of Christ in which we stand. In which we stand. Do you remember what the psalmist said? O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who can stand? To put it another way, if you're not justified, who can stand? If you are not justified, there's no way you can stand. But those who, having been justified by faith, in the finished work of Christ, have peace with God, have access into that grace, access into his presence, by which now we stand. It is here, in the grace of Christ, that we stand.
What a fitting way to conclude the series, Justification by Faith Alone. We'll hear a question and answer session next weekend on Renewing Your Mind, and in just a moment, Dr. Sproul will join me here in the studio to talk about today's lesson. This study on justification by faith alone covers what is perhaps the single most important topic in Christian theology. If you miss justification by faith alone, you've missed the central message of the gospel. In this 15-part series, Dr. Sproul talks about God's great exchange, the means of salvation, even the difference between justification by faith and justification by faith alone. This is one of your last opportunities to give a gift of any amount and request the complete study on CD. Call us here at Ligonier Ministries at 1-800-435-4343 or online, go to renewingyourmind.org. Ligonier Ministries exists to help Christians understand what they believe, why they believe it, how to live it, and how to share it. We use every means at our disposal to achieve that goal. Of course, that includes radio, but we also take advantage of social media, podcasts, the internet, books, and more. When you give a donation and request this series, you're helping us reach as many people as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, call us at 1-800-435-4343 or go to renewingyourmind.org. And we're grateful for your support. Now, here's Dr. Sproul with today's Coram Deo thought.
Many times you've been asked about controversies and issues, and the question that is posed to you is this: where do you stand? What position do you take? Well, the question I have for you now at the end of our exposition of this doctrine of justification is the question, where do you stand with God? Can you stand in his presence at all? Do you have peace with him? Have you moved into his presence? Do you have access to his grace by the work of Christ? What I'm asking you is, are you justified. We've only scratched the surface of this profoundly important doctrine of the New Testament. I know that many of you who have been following this series of lectures have all kinds of questions about it. One of the things that we've done in Orlando as we've put this series together is that we've had the people who were in the studio compile questions, and they have given them to us. And so in our next session, instead of lecture, instead of the normal message, we're going to conclude our study of justification with a little discussion where we'll be dealing with those questions that people have brought to us about this important doctrine. I hope you will be with us for that session.
So join us next weekend for that final question and answer session with Dr. Sproul on justification by faith alone.